And won't you pray with me, please? Father, now as we go into your word, we just pray that, Father, your word would change us. We know that your word is powerful. It's strong. It's moving. It's honest. It's revealing. It's loving. It's caring. So, Father, as we go into your word this morning and we begin to study and understand more about you, we pray that you would enlighten us and give us a spirit of understanding, a spirit of enlightenment. And Lord, may we leave here a changed people, loving you, knowing you, and wanting to serve you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to look at a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. Now I want you to envision in your mind what's going on here. There is a large group of people who are surrounding Christ, and he is up on a little hillside, and he is teaching them the ways of God. But I want you to understand that this Jesus is God himself, that this Jesus is God clothed in humanity. So it's God himself who is there before his creation, and he is enlightening them. He is teaching them on things that he wants them to know. So this morning we are going to look at a portion of the Sermon on the Mount that is well read, well known, and often preached. However, we're going to look at it through a different eye, through the customs and the culture of that day. And hopefully what this is going to do is shed some new light and new meaning on this lesson. So let's dig into God's Word. Let's look at Matthew 6:19. You may want to take your Bibles and turn to that section. Matthew 6:19. You know what? I'm going to let you read this to me this morning. Won't you please read for me? Lay not up. Now, what do moths and rust have to do with treasures? You see, during the time of Christ, there were three ways that you would be able to identify if a person was of wealth or not. One way was by the clothing that they wore. If they wore nice clothing, fine linen, by the way, this is not fine linen, this is a $99.99 chaps suit. Fine linen, you would know that they had wealth. But today you couldn't tell that. I mean, come on, we take a perfectly good pair of pants, put a hole in them, and call it style. We wear jeans with sports jackets. We wear t-shirts with dress suits. But in the time of Christ, you could tell a person's wealth by what they wore. A second way that you could tell a person's wealth was by how much money they had. And the third way that you could tell a person's wealth was by how much stuff they had, how many possessions they had. So what do moths have to do with clothing, and what does rust mean when you're looking at treasures? So what do moths do to clothing? They destroy it. They destroy it. And what about rust? Interesting. During the time of Christ, money was made out of gold and silver. However, their smelting abilities were not very good, and there would be metal mixed in with the gold and silver. Well, what they would do with this gold and silver, these coins that they had, they would put them in jars, go out in their yard, dig a hole, bury that jar, cover it back up, then hopefully remember where it was at, and go back, and when they needed it, they would go back later and unearth, pull out the jar, take out the coins they needed, put it back in the jar, put it back down, bury it again, and that's how they kept their money safe. But there was a problem. If you hoarded too much money, and you had jars all over your backyard, and you didn't do first in, first out, you might find that your coins would rust, and they would corrode, and they didn't weigh as much as they did before, and you would lose value in your money, in your possession there. So when it's talking about rust, what Jesus is talking about is the money that is buried in the ground, that's in there for a long time, with the possibility of it losing value because it has corroded. And then you've got your possessions. You had to be careful with your possessions. They didn't have security systems like we do today. In fact, I'm understanding now that you can go on an application, and for $78, you can buy a camera. Download this application. You can put this camera up. You can buy three $78 cameras. Download this app, and it will set up for you a security system that you can see on your phone. And when somebody comes in or if something disturbs that video, that camera, it alerts you that says somebody's in your house, and you can look in and see. And if somebody's breaking in, you can even talk to them. I see you. But they didn't have this during the time of Christ. So if you had a lot of possessions, if you were hoarding up possessions, thieves could break in and steal these things very easily. So what's Jesus saying here? When he's saying store up, he's talking about hoarding. He says it takes a long time for moths to eat clothing. So you're hoarding clothing. It takes a long time for money to rust and lose its value. So you're hoarding your money. And then you get the thieves coming in and stealing things that you've hoarded because you've got a lot of this stuff, a lot more than you need. And people can easily see that you got more than you need, and they'll come in and take it from you. It's all about hoarding. So Jesus is saying, don't hoard clothing, don't hoard money, and don't hoard possessions. And then look at verse 20. Read it for me, please. But lay up. Okay, I got a problem. What does it mean by lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven? How do you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? What treasures will we have in heaven? Now, the above scriptures is talking about hoarding. So what am I to hoard in heaven? I'm confused. I don't know what this treasure he's talking about in heaven. I don't know what I'm supposed to be hoarding up. So we need to understand something. I was telling this to David this morning, and he said, what? I said, David, I'm reading this book that Lynn gave me, and it's on the Jewish Christian faith. I have little problems there. But anyway, in this book, it says that many scholars believe that the New Testament letters were written in Greek. But this individual scholar, who, by the way, has his doctorate, he is a Cumberland Presbyterian minister, he says that he believes that these letters were written either in Aramaic or in Hebrew at the time, and that they were translated into Greek. So if you really want to get the real meaning of what's going on here, he says you need to take the Greek and translate it back into the Hebrew or the Aramaic to understand what these scriptures are really telling us. So, let's look at this one. The word for heaven is shemayim. That's the Hebrew word. But shemayim has a special meaning. It literally means in your relationship with God. So get this. So you see, Jesus is saying, lay up treasures in your relationship with God. He wasn't talking about heaven as a place. He's talking about a relationship with God. And then Jesus says that moth nor rust nor people can steal. So what is Jesus saying here about our relationship with God? And he's talking about moth, he's talking about rust, and he's talking about people stealing. What he's saying here is that, look, a moth can't destroy your relationship with God. Rust can't destroy your relationship with God. And nobody can steal your relationship from God. Kind of interesting when you look at it that way, doesn't it? So he's saying, when you're talking about laying up treasures in heaven, he's talking about a relationship with God. And he says, I'm wanting you to know that what you should be hoarding up is that relationship, because nothing can interfere with your relationship with God. Nothing. You can lose your materialism and your material things, but you can never lose your relationship with God. And then we go to verse 20. Read it for me, please. So what Jesus is saying here now, he says, look, what you value the most is what you're going to be committed to. You will love what you value most. So if you love the things on earth, that's what you're going to value the most. If you love God, then that's what you're going to value the most. But you are going to value one of the two. You're either going to value these things of the world, or you're going to value your relationship with God. And you have to make a choice. That's what he's saying. Standing there on this little mound, talking to all these people that are surrounding him, God in the flesh is saying, look, you can have materialism or you can have me. Materialism is going to go away, but your relationship with me will last forever. You got to make a choice. You got to make a choice. Now, I want to skip down to verse 24, and you'll understand why in just a second. Read that for me, please.
No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon.
Okay. The Hebrew word for mammon is material wealth. So Jesus is saying here, you can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to hate one and love the other. You're going to cling to one and despise the other. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot, see the shadow right here? Can anybody see the shadow? Yeah, I'll see it in the back. There's a shadow right here. It's a line. You cannot straddle the line. You're going to love one, or you're going to hate the other. You're going to despise one, you're going to love the other. You can't serve God. You can't love God and love material wealth. So he's saying, which one are you going to serve? Which one are you going to serve? And then, in the middle of these two verses, or these verses that are talking about materialism and your relationship with God, there are a couple of verses that jump out that seem to make no sense at all. So let's look at verses 22 and 23, and then I want you to tell me what it's talking about. Read it for me, please. Hold on. What is the light of the body? What? Okay, keep going. Hold on. What does that mean? The eye be single.
Fix it.
One focus. Eye be single. Keep going.
Thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy mind be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee, the darkness, how great is that darkness?
Okay. So now I'm really confused. Jesus is talking about our relationship with God versus material wealth, hoarding material wealth, hoarding our relationship with God, looking at what we value, making choices. And now all of a sudden, he's talking about the body being an eye and light and darkness. What does all this mean, and how is all this connected? Do you see what's going on here? We're talking about relationships and love and things that pass away, and nothing can destroy our relationship with God. And then all of a sudden, in all of this, he talks about the eye. And by the way, it doesn't say eyes, does it? If your eyes be evil, it doesn't say eyes, it says eye. Then it says your eye be single, it doesn't say your eyes, it's one eye. Why not two eyes? Okay, won't you stand for our closing, please? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Look at Proverbs 22:9. He that hath a what? What kind of eye? What did I tell you a few minutes ago? I have a good eye, right? What's Proverbs 22:9 say? I have a good eye. What shall he be? For he giveth of his bread to the poor. The light of the body is the what? If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. Okay, by the way, that's two verses. I wanted to show you Proverbs 22:9 is that he that hath a good eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Then I go down to verse 22. This is from Matthew and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it says, the light of the body is the eye. There if the eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Okay, so you can see that it's talking about this good eye in both scriptures. So what do you notice here about this scripture? What are these two scriptures about? The eyes have it. And so scripture doesn't say if your eyes are bountiful, it says if your eye is good. And Jesus says if your single eye, not plural. And there's significant meaning in this. So let's see if we can make sense out of all this. In Hebrew, this has special meaning from a standpoint. It is an idiom. We have idioms in our language. How many of you heard this? Get off my back, you're heavy. But you're really not on my back, right? It's a saying. Get off my back, you're heavy. Or how about, I'll keep an eye out for you. We're not saying we're going to take an eye out, you know, It's a saying, right? It's an idiom. Or he speaks with a forked tongue. He really doesn't have a forked tongue. And then I like this one. I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Now, where did that saying come from? Who knows? But it's an idiom. And we know what it means, don't we? We know what it means. I heard it straight from the horse's mouth, which means we heard it from the person that really knows what he's talking about. So in the days of Jesus, listen to this, the single eye or the generous eye or the good eye was a way of saying that a person is generous and that the generous person looks out and sees the needs of others. So the expression, he sees with a good eye, say, I have a good eye. It meant that that person was generous and sees the needs of others and gives to them. That's what that meant. Now, the word eye doesn't mean a mean eye. It means attitude. Now, it says what type of attitude we have toward others will depend on how we see them. So if we have a good eye, we look out for the needs of others. What do you think an evil eye is? It looks inward. It's selfish, it's self-promoting, it's greed, and it's fear. Greed says, whatever I have isn't enough. Oh my gosh, I'm 52 years old, and I've got to retire in 10 years. How much money do I need? But whatever I got is not enough. I need more and more and more. That's what greed says. Or greed says, oh my gosh, I'm 52 years old and I'm going to retire in 10 years. I don't have enough. I got to protect myself. I got to make sure that I keep getting more and more so that I've got enough. I can't give it away. I can't help others because what's going to happen to me? The evil eye says that the person is full of darkness and that person is blind. The person with the good eye is like the Father, full of light and mercy. Person with the evil eye is selfish. So do you see what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, look, don't hoard up material things that can be destroyed. Rather, store up in your relationship with God. For if you are generous, it affects your whole being. When you serve God, your riches are like a tool in your hand. It's a blessing, and you're not bound by it. And you are generous just like your Heavenly Father. You're giving because God has given to you. You know that when you give out, God's going to give you more. You're a tool. You're an instrument of God helping others because you're just like your Heavenly Father. He says you cannot serve two masters. If you're a selfish person, it affects your attitude. It affects your whole being. If we're selfish, it means that we are basically, the riches control us, and it doesn't allow us to serve God. God gives, but we don't go forward. We don't help. We don't see the need. Now, do you think this is applicable today? What's the number one reason for divorce? Money, finances. Why? Because you can't serve two masters. There's a need to hoard more. There's a need to make sure that there will always be enough. The dark eye is controlling that marriage. It's bound to the materialism. They're not like the Heavenly Father. They don't have the good eye. Say, I've got a good eye. You know, I wish there was a way to communicate to the world that a relationship with God cures everything. There is not a single thing that a relationship with God does not cure. It will cure hate. It will cure materialism. It will cure prejudice. It will cure pride. It will cure poverty. It cures no hope. It cures everything. And that's why Jesus is saying, don't hoard up material things that are going to go away that you can't control. You have no control over those things. But hoard up your relationship with God. Because with God, all things are possible. With God, He can cure all things. With God, He holds all things together. You cannot serve two masters. You can't be materialistic, and you can't serve God. You got to have a good eye. A good eye. A good eye says, I've got the right attitude with the blessings that I've been given. Now let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much, and Lord, we pray to have a good eye, the right attitude, Lord, with our blessings. Lord, I pray here this morning that if there's anyone that is bound by this fear of not having enough or bound by this materialism, Lord, let them know that these things are going to go away, and we can't control them anyway. All of our blessings come from you. And the more that we depend on you and understand that, the more that you bless us. And the more that we take that blessing and help and give others, the more you bless us because we are trusting you and you are trusting us to take care and be generous with those things that you've given us. We are to be the light of the world, Lord, not selfish, not self-centered, but giving and caring and loving a light. Let us be that light, Lord. And let us store up and hoard our relationship with you because nothing can separate us from that. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Won't you stand, please? Okay.